Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome to our book pick segment for the week, and it is always a great pleasure when we talk to the folks from the Golden Notebook in Woodstock. Jackie Callahan of the Golden Notebook has been keeping track of what literary pursuits are worth our time and money and joins us via telephone to keep her safe and sound this morning to tell us what is on her list and the picks she has for us this week. Jackie, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, Joe. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very doing quite nicely. Thank you very much, and hope you're keeping well down your way. Let us begin the list. Where would you like to start?
Well, I'd like to start with three books that are kind of helping me get through this very intense winter, which has been very challenging, I think, to everyone, and also to parents with children in schools, because as I think I'm entering my seventh snow day, in addition to at least seven delayed openings, and I'm sort of barricaded in with my economically worthless but emotionally priceless kids. I find myself pondering the central question of Jennifer Senior's fabulous new book, which is called All Joy and No Fun, The Paradox of Modern Parenthood. And this book came out a few weeks ago, and Jennifer Senior is a writer for New York Magazine, and the book, in fact, grew out of an article that she wrote a couple years ago. And what she's asking in this book is, what does it mean to be a parent? What does it mean to be a modern parent, specifically in a very child-centered society? You know, modern childhood, especially in the U.S., is sort of a recent phenomenon from the 40s or 50s. You know, kids are no longer, they don't have economic input to the family. They have their own culture. And what does it mean? How do parents deal with this? This isn't a book that has parenting advice. It's a book about parents, and so therefore it's sort of irresistible to the parent because you're reading about yourself. And what she does is she conducts interviews with several families, mostly middle class, and they're snapshots of different stages of parenting and child development. And what's really cool is many of those voices are female voices, but some of them are male as well. And she has a great, accessible, anecdotal style, and she is able to very easily intertwine, I think, academic research studies and psychology among her observations. And I think that, in looking at some of the reviews of the book, and it wasn't really evident to me, but it's, you know, there are four very real chapters about what it's like to be a parent, and it's tough, and, you know, there's loss of autonomy, and there's no control over time, and all that other stuff. And Jennifer, through her conversations with other parents, ultimately brings you to the place of, like, you know, so what is the joy that you find with your children? Sometimes, you know, we think of kind of the momentous occasions, but really it's in the daily moments.
Yeah.
And just the kind of the quotidian of just being with your kids and trying to achieve that place where you could really be with them despite everything that you have going on in your life. It's really a fantastic book. I think the appeal is very much to parents, but I think that if there is a parent in your life, and I guess there is a parent in all of our lives, it's still a wonderful book to read.
It is All Joy and No Fun, The Paradox of Modern Parenthood by Jennifer Senior.
And so Jennifer's book actually brings me to my second book because, you know, when I was growing up, like, fantasy just, it didn't do it for me. You know, I like Star Wars and Tolkien and all of that. I couldn't be interested less, frankly. And I have three boys, and they are all over Star Wars, and one of them in particular loves Lego, and Lego led him to the Hobbit movies, and I've watched The Hobbit and the old one and all the Lord of the Rings so many times. And finally, I sat down with the book, The Hobbit, and have been reading it aloud to my 9-year-old really over the past 2 months. And Houghton Mifflin did a beautiful reissue this Christmas of The Hobbit with illustrations by Jemima Catlin, so it's perfect for reading aloud. It has wonderful pictures, but it's also the true text. And if you've never read The Hobbit, and I bet many have and many haven't, It's an amazing book.
Yeah.
You know, we have a great hero of literature, of children's literature, but also modern literature, in Bilbo Baggins. And he doesn't want to be a hero. He's most unsuited to it. He would be does say it at the beginning. But you travel on this incredible journey with him and the dwarves and the elves, and it's just such an amazing book. And I think that it's, you know, there's so many layers of meaning that can come out of The Hobbit, and I think that maybe only sometimes when you're forced to consider them in a way like I was, that you start to appreciate Tolkien's sort of subtle commentary, really, on human nature and on adults and what it takes to, you know, do what you should do in your life as well as what you can do.
It's The Hobbit in this new edition with illustrations by Jemima Catlin. Next up.
All right, next up. Again, sort of in this trilogy of books that's helping me make it through February, there's a wonderful book that came out this fall written by Sharon Salzberg and Robert Thurman. And it is called Love Your Enemies, How to Break the Anger Habit and Be a Whole Lot Happier. And one would think that this book, at first glance, is really about other people, okay? And about, their problems, but really it's about you. And the anger, several different levels of anger that we kind of all have and all have to deal with, and how we can come to recognize them, and most importantly, how to work through them through meditation or just awareness, and then how to use them, and ultimately use our anger or really the suffering of those kinds of emotions to change the circumstances that create them. And it's an amazing book. It's a dense book, so it's a book that's you can pick up and, you know, you don't need to read it in order. And you would want to read paragraphs again and again and again. And this book grew out of workshops that the two of them did for years in various locations. It's grounded in Buddhism, but also in Western religion as well. And I think that it is very accessible to all people. And and obviously Robert Thurman is a Hudson Valley based author, and he, you know, and has written many, many, many wonderful books. And I don't know, for anyone being challenged by their current circumstances, whether it's something that you can't control by the weather or something that you can control, like your reaction to it, I highly recommend it.
It's Love Your Enemies by Sharon Salzberg and Robert Thurman.
Okay, my next book is a wonderful little monograph. It's really a self-published, small-pub book called Hidden in Plain Sight, The Other People in Norman Rockwell's America. One of the things that I love about being a bookseller and also about doing so many events is just that so many incredible books fall in your lap and stories fall in your lap that you would have never, ever heard. And this is a book written that focuses on Norman Rockwell's depiction of people of color in his work, and really from the beginning of his work through the end of his work, and his deliberate attempts to be inclusive, and sometimes the barriers that he ran into in trying to be inclusive, and also just the phenomena of how, you know, people's understanding of Rockwell is that he depicts a white America, is that he depicts, you know, this sort of idealized America. And in the body of the work, it's sort of contrary to that. I mean, obviously in the 60s and the 70s, when there were a lot of, some of his more famous works were so deliberately political, but there were a lot of other ones along the way. And so this is a very cool book that explores that thread and attempts to contact the different models of color, African Americans and Indians and other races who modeled for Rockwell and hear their stories, because it's fascinating, because in some of the biographies of Rockwell or in some of the other, you know, things, so many things written by Rockwell, there are even books that the models of Rockwell have written, but the story of the colored models haven't been told. So it's a fascinating little book. It got the attention of Kirkus Reviews, and it's Hidden in Plain Sight, The Other People in Norman Rockwell's America.
By Jane Allen Patrick. Next up.
Yes. Okay. So I'm very excited about this next book, and we're actually doing an event for this wonderful author and book this coming Saturday at the Golden Notebook at 2 p.m., and it's a book called Prayers for the Stolen by Jennifer Clement. And Jennifer Clement is actually a very accomplished fiction and poet, and she's mostly been published in the U.K. She wrote an interesting memoir called Widow Basquiat, which is sort of based on the story of one of Jean-Michel Basquiat's widow. And Jennifer also spent a lot of time in Mexico. And so this book, Prayers for the Stolen, is about the culture of women in Mexico, and specifically in the state of Guerrero, and specifically about an imagined town, but not really, it's so far from real life, of only women. Where have all the men gone? They're dead, or they're part of the drug cartel, or they're in the United States. And this is focusing on one particular character named Lady Di, which is a very popular name in Mexico, named after Lady Diana, of course, but Lady Di. And it's about her journey from her town to out of her town, and just how women are able to survive in this culture of violence and misogyny and just terrible, terrible oppression. It's a wonderful book, and I think it's going to be a sunny day on Saturday, so please come out and hear this wonderful author, Jennifer Clement.
Jennifer Clement, Saturday, February 22nd at 2 p.m., 2 p.m. Saturday, and it's Jennifer Clement, and the book is Prayers for the Stolen. We have about 2 minutes.
Okay, great. So 1 minute for these awesome new kids' books that just came out. One of them is called Shackleton's Journey, and it's by William Grill, and it's published by a really cool British press called No Brow Press, and it is a gorgeous, gorgeous picture book. I wish I could show it to you, Joe, about Shackleton's journey. I would say the age for this book is, you know, 7, 8, 9. Beautiful illustrations talking about, you know, Shackleton's amazing journey to the South Pole, his incredible crew, the 69 dogs that they picked for the journey, and all their names, what the endurance looked like in all the parts of the ship, all the equipment and supplies, and ultimately the maps of the journey and how they survived. The illustrations are kind of light colored charcoal, and they're really, really amazing. It's a great book for your reader who's interested in more nonfiction stuff, as an early reader, Shackleton's Journey. The next book I wanted to talk about, also nonfiction, is a beautiful book called Josephine, and it's by Patricia Powell and Christian Robinson, and it's about Josephine Baker, and it's written as a prose poem. The illustrations are beautiful, and it goes through her life from St. Louis to New York to Paris, and just how she danced and really, you know, changed so much. And it's filled with life, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful book, a great read-aloud book.
A lot of great stuff, and Jackie's complete list is available on our website, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable, or go visit them in person at the Golden Notebook on Tinker Street in Woodstock, a beautiful store. And again, the event with Jennifer Clement for Prayers for the Stolen takes place this Saturday, February 22nd at 2 p.m. Jackie, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.